Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me now in our unison prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Gracious God, open our hearts to your Word. Strengthen us in love as we listen. Give us eyes to see your abundance and courage to trust your leading. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Listen to God's word. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Our second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 30 through 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them and saw them going and recognized them. And they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. All ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please join with me in the spirit of prayer. Good and gracious God, may my words this morning be your words. May your words take root in our hearts and minds so that we can continue to work your will in your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, Pastor Stephanie said something in her sermon that I can't get out of my head. And I'll tell you right now, it was not the most important part of her sermon last week. And so I do invite you to go back and listen to her sermon. It was incredibly powerful and timely. So please go back and listen to it. But one of the parts that stood out to me that I continue to think on this week is Stephanie told us that Jesus loves a good party. And ever since she said it, I can't get that out of my head. Even when I opened my Bible this week, I seem to have found Jesus over and over again at a party. And we've been noticing this pattern over the season of Lent. On Ash Wednesday, we started with the parable of the great banquet, where Jesus is talking about a parable where the invitation keeps widening until there is room for everyone at the table. 2 weeks ago, in our first Sunday in Lent, we heard the story of water transforming into wine at a wedding feast, where Jesus quietly, behind the scenes, turns a moment of scarcity into this overwhelming celebration. And then just last Sunday, when we heard from Pastor Stephanie that Jesus loves a good party, it was from the story of Jesus attending a Pharisee's dinner where a woman kneels at his feet and washes them with her tears as an act of great love. And the gathering around a meal continues this week. The feeding of the 5,000 is a story that is found in all four of the Gospels. And today we heard it from the Gospel of Mark. As told in the Gospel of Mark, the disciples have returned from traveling and teaching in all the surrounding villages. And so Jesus invites the disciples to come away to a quiet and deserted place so that they may find rest. However, the crowds, those who have been listening to these teachings, the crowds see where the disciples are going and they decide to arrive ahead of them. And before long, thousands of people have gathered in this deserted place, although it is no longer quiet nor deserted like the disciples intended. As evening falls, the crowd of thousands begins to feel hungry. And so the disciples think that their time together has come to an end. It is the practical solution. It is time to end the gathering. It is time to stop the teachings so that the crowds may go on their way and find their own food and shelter. But Jesus doesn't believe that is the way it should happen. Instead, Jesus tells the disciples the directive that they will be the ones who will feed the crowd. The disciples are told to go and to see whatever they might have, and by doing so, they find 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And of course, that is not enough for a crowd of 5,000. But Jesus still gathers the crowds into groups on the grass, blesses the bread and the fish, and places the food into the hands of the disciples. And so what begins as 5 loaves and 2 fish becomes enough for everyone. The crowd eats, the people are satisfied, and when the meal is finished, there is still enough left over to gather 12 baskets worth. This week, our Lenten small groups are reading a story that are similar to that one. A few months ago, a small coffee shop in Portland, Oregon, Heretic Coffee Shop, and yes, that is actually their name, Heretic Coffee Shop, learned that many people in their neighborhood were about to lose access to food assistance through SNAP. And the owners looked around their cafe and they realized that there was something they could give back to their community. They had food and they had a kitchen and they had the ability to cook breakfast. So they decided if there were people in their community who were going hungry due to the government shutdown, they would begin offering free breakfast to anyone who needed it. All they had to do was ask for the SNAP breakfast. But as you might imagine, small local coffee shops do not usually have the resources to give away food and feed large numbers of people every day. In fact, when Heretic Coffee Shop first shared this plan, some people warned them that the cafe would not financially survive this because they could not keep up to afford all that they were giving away. But instead of abandoning this idea, or instead of believing that they would run out of resources, the community came together and offered to help. They started with a fundraiser, hoping to gather enough support to make all of these free breakfasts possible. And within a short time, just a few weeks, neighbors, customers, and strangers from across the country had contributed more than $184,000 to this cafe so that they would always have enough food to offer. Two stories, one ancient and one of today, feature two large crowds of people who are hungry with what seemingly around them was so little to offer. And yet in both stories, something unexpected happens when the people began sharing whatever they had to share. The resources somehow never run out. It is easy to look at overwhelming needs in our own personal lives or in the needs of this world and see only the problems that are forming because of those scarcity. But this story is just as much about Jesus's directive to the disciples to feed the crowds, to trust in God's provision and abundance, as it is about everyone in the crowd being fed. In this story, in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says to the disciples, you give them something to eat. To be a disciple of Christ is to notice when people are hungry, to see the needs of the people around us, and to take responsibility for everyone in the community, rather than assuming someone else might take care of them for us. And that invitation is not limited to the hillside in Galilee. It is not limited to that one moment where the 5,000 gathered. It echoes across every generation in the church. You give them something to eat. The truth is, we often find ourselves living in moments that feel very similar to that moment. We look around at the needs of the world and wonder how anything we can offer could possibly be enough. We see communities and people struggling with hunger and poverty. We see violence and fear shaping the lives of nations. We see suffering unfolding in places like Burma or the Middle East, where ordinary people, families, children, and neighbors find themselves caught in cycles of conflict and war and grief that feel too impossibly large. And even closer to home, communities of faith like ours find themselves asking honest questions about what the future holds and how they will continue caring for the people God has placed before them. And still, in all of those moments, the words of Jesus are still clear. You give them something to eat. Following Christ means trusting that when we consider what we have, when we begin with compassion and share what we have, God has a way of making something that seems impossible possible. That prayer in Ephesians, our second scripture, is a promise meant for communities of faith like ours. Paul in Ephesians, Paul is praying that the church would be strengthened inwardly by the Spirit, that Christ would dwell among the people, and that together they would begin to grasp the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of Christ's love. Paul is praying for the church, not for a building and not for an institution. Paul is praying for a community of people trying to follow Christ. And Paul concludes that prayer with these words: "Now to Christ, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine." Christ is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. Far more than we can ask. Far more than we can imagine. This promise matters in moments like the one our congregation finds itself in now. Last week, we began a conversation about the future of our church. And many of us stayed after our one worship service to participate in the town hall conversation hosted by our session. Starting today and continuing in the next coming of weeks, the session has been offering listening sessions for the congregation to come together to share our hopes and our dreams, our questions, and our prayers. And these conversations are faithful, holy work. They require honesty and patience and trust. They are inviting us to listen carefully to one another and to the Spirit as we, as a congregation, as the body of Christ, discern our path forward together. But this is not just a moment of asking questions about what led us to this point. This is also a moment that invites us to dream. The feeding of the 5,000 and Paul's prayer in Ephesians remind us that the life of the church is not limited by the size of our own imagination. God is able to accomplish far more than we can ask or imagine. Which means communities of faith, we are invited to dream beyond what feels standard or predictable. This can be a beautiful moment in the life of our congregation, not because we already have all of the answers, we don't, but because we are being invited together into the holy work of imagining what God might still do through this community. Moments like this give the church permission to dream again. Dream about what God might be calling First Presbyterian Church of Allentown to become. Dream about the ways this congregation might continue feeding people in need, people who are hungry for food or for belonging or for hope. This is an opportunity to dream about the ways our life together might continue to serve our neighbors here in the valley and our neighbors across the world, ways to serve them in ways that we have not yet imagined. We are not called to dream little dreams when we follow a God who promises to accomplish far more than we can ask or imagine. The disciples did not begin that day on the hillside knowing how the story would end. They began with doubt, and they began with seeing whatever they had as a limit. But with a call to discipleship, they soon trusted that invitation from Christ, and then they participated in the care of the people that were around them. because somehow in the hands of Christ, what began with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish became enough for everyone. That is the miracle inside of this story, that there is enough for everyone. So as we continue our conversations about the future of this congregation, or even our own futures, we do not begin by asking whether we have enough. We go and we see what we do have. What do we have? What gifts has God already placed in the hands of this community? What compassion has already taken root here? What faith has already been nurtured here? What relationships have already been formed here? When communities begin here, when we begin with what God has already given us and share it with the people around us, something powerful happens. The impossible becomes possible. And then we dream. God is able to accomplish abundantly more than we can ask or imagine or dream. The Spirit of Christ is still at work among this community. So friends, we are asked to take that step where we place whatever we have into God's hands and trust that in somehow, in ways that we cannot see yet, there will be more than enough. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.